The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org.
Welcome to this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast. I am Roger Bayramian with my co-host Jason Matosian, and today we are going to talk about the issue that many of us are thinking about today, the issue of race. But before we get into this big topic, I always like podcasts that get to know the host a little bit. So I'm going to ask you a question I don't think I've ever asked you, Jason.
Oh, I'm scared.
What was your first job that you've ever had?
The first job that I ever had, this is just so cliche, but my first job was, I worked in a Christian bookstore. So cliche, right? Lighthouse, yes. Lighthouse Christian Bookstore in Arcadia. And my good friend Godin and I worked there together. He actually had been working there before, and he asked me to apply. And it was actually a lot of fun. I would spend my time hiding Benny Hinn books behind R.C. Sproul books to make sure those were not sold. But yeah, that's funny. Man, you took me way back.
That's great. Yeah, I've only known you as a pastor. So it's
good. Well, you're not good. Listen, you can't. I'm not going to be the only one to answer that question, of course. So what was your first job?
My first official job, I was actually 12 years old. And I did a paper route. So I did a paper route for a few years, but my first really exciting job was right after that, flipping burgers at Carl's Jr. and working in a drive-thru with my little headset, not like this one I have today with my line that I have not forgotten. Of after somebody ordered a combo meal, would you like to go big on your order?
Nice. Did you ever say, would you like to go big or just go home or something like that? No?
No, we couldn't do that. It was just
not allowed. Like
to go big. No.
Okay.
No. Wanted to keep that glorious job. So.
How long did you work there?
I worked there for about a year and a half. And then right across the street was a PetSmart. And I got a job over there, and that was a good transition from smelling from burgers to dog food.
Great. So. I think I would have stuck with Carl's Jr. I gained a lot of weight.
Yes, yes. You got a lot of discounts and free food at the end of the night. So.
Nice.
But today, I want to talk about this issue and wanted to look at it and try to narrow this topic down because it is so complex. It's such a big topic that many people are talking about race from many different angles. But I wanted to start out with this question of why should we care about this issue today in the life of the church?
Yeah, really good question. Why should we care? I think there are a number of really important reasons why we should care. One is that it's so big in our world right now. It's captured everyone's attention. And as elders, as shepherds, it really is our duty to help the body think biblically and make biblically informed decisions as to how they're going to act and react and just help them, as we're processing, help them process in a God-honoring way. And you know, anything that's that big and so pervasive kind of in everyday life, everything, you know, turn on the news, you open the internet, you whatever, everywhere you turn, you've got this race issue coming right at you. Twitter is filled with this stuff, right? So our people are seeing it. They're being filled with all these different thoughts. So I think it's important to address it because we want to help our people think biblically about this issue. The issue itself is important, obviously, because of the many implications it has, just in terms of life, the gospel, our witness, how we're to act with those who are hurting, who are in pain, just a big, big topic.
Do you find it hard, or do you find a tension that when you're preparing for Sunday morning sermons of, you know, this is all on people's minds, it's an important issue, but how do I address this when I want to preach a sermon and walk through the word, you find, you know, sometimes you want to talk, but it's hard to connect the dots for people.
It's hard to connect the dots. I actually think that a podcast like this can be helpful to fill in and supplement, because when you're preaching the word, you know, you definitely want to try to address the topics of the day, you know, in some form when you can. But at the same time, sometimes the topic of the day distracts from the point of our lives, and takes our attention to places that, you know, maybe it shouldn't be. And so I try to keep the Sunday morning preaching. I just want to keep it, you know, as focused on our pilgrimage as God's people in this life. Definitely sometimes we have to take a break of whatever we're preaching and go off top, you know, to go topical studies and things. But I think a podcast like this can be helpful to supplement what we do from the pulpit for our people. Yeah.
Definitely gives us an opportunity to talk about things in a little bit more detail and try to frame things in a different way, not being tied to one particular text, but being able to discuss different areas and make connections as we're thinking through it together, you know, iron sharpening iron and just really wrestling with the topic. I think what might be helpful even in our discussion today is trying to narrow it down with a biblical framework and trying to think through really the theological issues that we have here, thinking of the theological topics that are related to this issue to help us think through how we should think about what's going on, how we should respond to what's going on. But as you think about the theological issues, what would you say are important ones that are on your mind when you think about everything that's going on, everything you're hearing every day, from news to social media to our people in the church and how they're responding to us?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first one that comes to my mind would really be the doctrine of sin and just understanding our fallenness and maybe even pushing on a little bit of this idea of a radical depravity where we're seeing, I mean, look at what we're watching. We're watching the world in a sense fall apart, right? We see unjust death, right? This person, you know, I'm not going to say he's innocent, right? Whether he was innocent or not, that's not an issue with George Floyd, for instance. The issue is that it was an unjust death. There was this injustice done. He didn't deserve to be killed by that police officer. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like such an outrageous moment, right? Yeah. So you've got this unjust death. You've got this, then initially, at least, there wasn't an arrest, which was interesting. And so you've got more elements of injustice and you're seeing sin play out, because now you're seeing how just power works and who's going to have the power to make the decision. Is this guy going to get arrested? Who's going to get arrested? Is anyone? And then all of a sudden you get these protests, but the protests weren't really alone. You have the rioting and the looting and people taking advantage of what's probably a really important cause for them, okay, or should be for them, but instead they take advantage of the moment and they go nuts and they burn things down. They hurt other people. How many police officers were hurt, some even killed in the midst of this? So you just see that how fallen this works, how broken this world is, and how sin just infiltrates it. Sin's never alone. Right, it's never just this one little sin. It's sin, just it's like a wildfire, and it takes off and it destroys everything in its way. And now the responses coming out of this, the movements, and what they're trying to push for, are those righteous, or are those really tainted with sinful thinking as well? So, I don't know. So, sin, doctrine of sin, came to mind as I was thinking about these things. What about you? What theological themes are you seeing here?
Yeah, I see, just thinking about, you know, sin in a different way of thinking about the anthropology of man, you know, going back to man being fallen and broken, not good and neutral, thinking how our upbringing does shape us, how other people shape us, but even thinking about how we change, right? Because that's what people want to see. They want to see change. They want to see something different. I think sometimes the end goal is idealistic, because as I think about man and changing, you don't, on this side of heaven, eradicate sin completely. Sin will be with us till the day we die. So if sin is our problem and racism is starting in the heart can change, but it's not going to change for every human being on the earth today. And really, how do we change? Do we change just by saying we need to change structures or systems or programs? Or is there something deeper in the heart that needs to be changed to reflect? So I'm thinking of, you know, how do people think about changing, but even the solutions that people want? Because if we don't consider that, we're not really dealing with the issue of the people. We're dealing with an idea, and that doesn't bring about changes. How many years has there been tensions between people? You go back in biblical times, right? Yeah. Beginning from Cain and Abel, there was a murder, you know, brother against brother, nation against nation.
Yep.
We've seen it in the history of just our world, of wars and oppression and genocide. The hatred is not eradicated so quickly. The heart needs to change. And are the solutions being promoted changing the heart? Or are they... You know, what's driving that? What are people's desires and wants? Everybody deals with that. Yeah, I think of, you know, even thinking like the topic of injustice or fairness. How do you think about that when you think biblically about the terminology that's used? You know, I'm big on words. Words matter. How we use words matter. How we define and interpret them matter. But how do you see injustice maybe being used in a biblical framework, but maybe it's not being used the same way today? Or is it being consistent?
It's a good question. So we see in Scripture that God obviously is a God of justice. And in the same language, you know, when we see that language of justice used, we often we also see the language of mercy used. So God is God of justice, God of mercy. And we see that he is often relating those two concepts to the oppressed, those who are treated in a way that is unfair, is prejudiced against them. There's partiality. And so when you're looking at kind of the Old Testament scriptures too, you're seeing God cares for the fatherless. He cares for the widows. He cares for the orphans. And there's an injustice when those who are in power are mistreating those who are the most helpless, right? And God cares for the helpless. And so in some sense, this idea of justice, particularly with regard to the race issue today, I think there is some, definitely some parallel to the biblical concepts that we study and we see. So I think there's something there that, you know, one of the things that strikes me, and I know that it might not be the most popular thing to talk about, but instead of, you know, being out there protesting police brutality, in all honesty, I do think that something that's on my heart as a Christian man, as a Christian pastor, is how do we help the multitudes of fatherless Black young men and women? You know, we're reading some really awful statistics about how many in the Black population in the United States are actually without fathers in the home. And can we, so when I'm thinking of this injustice or the oppressed or those I need to be showing mercy to, those are the things that come. So I think what happens is there, justice is a biblical term, and there are some aspects of this that what's going on, including certain forms of oppression that are taking place, certainly that fit. But I think that we're too quick to just jump on whatever the bandwagon is that mm-hmm. the secular thinkers are going, well, it's police brutality, it's inequity in terms of education, and it's not, it's defund the police and instead fund education. I don't see those conclusions as being in agreement necessarily with what the biblical analysis would look like in terms of justice. I don't know if I'm answering the question you were throwing out, but
I like that. That's good. Yeah. Then, you know, looking at it from the biblical perspective and bringing it in, I think, yeah, I see those connections too. Let me ask you,
Roger, the one thing that I'm trying to think theologically or biblically about, something like the issue of protest itself.
Yeah.
Do you have, what category would we even kind of want to think through to analyze whether protest is it good? Is it bad? Is it neutral? Can it be good? Can it be, what about protest?
It's interesting. I thought about that and been thinking through how do we connect that, you know, because it's not so much the protest, but it's also the protesters, you know, those who are protesting. Mm. And there's two different issues. So protesting against injustice, absolutely, it's wrong. Let's, you know, it's a honorable thing that we can think biblically. Yeah, you know, it's not right to see when unjust things are happening. But the heart of those who are can become an issue too. Is the protest out of anger? Is the protest out of bitterness? Is the protest out of pride? Is that I want my way and I think I know what's best, and now it's our time to do upheaval and to riot at the worst case as the rioters who are not really those protesting. They're taking advantage of people who are trying to go out there, sincere people who just want to make a voice heard of things going on. But it's the heart and what happens to people when they shape each other and one becomes angry and then you get more anger. And is that helpful when it's not becoming peaceful? Like we've even seen, you know, in our people protesting every year the Armenian genocide and wanting recognition for it. And they're expressing what's going on in the heart, but that could turn on it too of it becomes animosity. It could become animosity toward other people who you're protesting against. So I think you have to think about what are you protesting about? What is the topic? You know, should we protest against other social evils? There's a lot of them we can choose from. Right now, we're highlighting just race.
Right.
But there's many others that we could protest for good causes. We know we can't save the world and do everything, but we should do something. And how does that look? So I like to look at the heart of the person protesting and understand them and why they're going out. Because if you're not careful, it can become, like some become activists and start putting out these ideas that are very radical and don't seem to provide real solutions. They seem to just be more the wants of people and thoughts and that they have, like defund the police and just give to community programs, like that's going to solve the issue.
Well, let me push on something you just brought up. So we're thinking about the heart of the protesters. Mm-hmm. We're talking to generally a Christian audience. So let's think about it for a Christian who says, you know what? I want to protest because I would like to, you know, be a witness for God's people as those who do care about the oppressed. So I want to go out with the oppressed and show them that I'm with them. Mm-hmm. Now let's keep that as the kind of the foundation. Should someone who has the right heart in terms of the desire to do the protest, should that person be concerned with who they're protesting along with? In other words, I'll just be real specific.
Yeah.
Should a Christian, I don't know if I should frame it exactly the way, but we'll say it that way and then we could talk through this. Should a Christian go out there and protest with Black Lives Matter, the movement, BLM? And how would we advise if someone in the congregation came and said, hey, I want to go out there with BLM and protest? What are some things they need to be thinking about?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm thinking of it on two different levels. Are you thinking that the cause is worth, is more important than the affiliation? And I think of, you know, evangelicals and Catholics will come together against abortion or against important topics.
Right.
I think there should be a personal conviction in the heart that each believer needs to look at. They need to understand who they're with. I think in this case, there's due diligence to say, well, what does this movement truly believe? Mm-hmm. Because you could be protesting one thing, but not understanding the entire movement. So you may think you're just protesting, you know, this injustice done to George Floyd, but not realizing that the entire movement is not just about George Floyd. This movement goes pre-George Floyd and is about something greater. And if you're protesting that and you're getting caught up in that, then you may be going somewhere you didn't think you wanted to be because you had the sincerity of, I just want to deal with what's going on today. And so if you're not looking at the end goal of what the protest is, you might be mixed up in a movement that is taking you to positions that aren't aligned with your own belief structure or convictions that you have. But I think it's a personal conviction. I don't think we can look and say it's a sin issue to protest or not to protest. I think it's conviction, but you got to use wisdom in protesting.
You know, when you bring that up, using wisdom and obviously doing our due diligence, one of the things that we have to think about is the partnerships that we are developing. Mm-hmm. I do know there are some evangelicals that would question whether we should partner with the Catholics, even on a topic like abortion, mm-hmm. because we want to be gospel centered in all that we do. And if we think that the Roman Catholic Church has a gospel issue. So I've heard that. Setting that aside, I was thinking about, you know, we're thinking about this whole BLM movement and everything. And I was thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Yeah, the equally yoked passage. I'll turn there just to make sure I'm getting it right.
So you mean that's not just about marriage?
Oh, of course, it's all about marriage.
Checking.
But, you know, where it says, you know, in 2 Corinthians 6, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship is light with darkness? And you see it. And the only reason I bring this up at all is we were talking ourselves off the air earlier about BLM and looking at their website and seeing some of the things that they believe. And that's part of their agenda that I don't think most people know or mm-hmm. understand, but it is a radical agenda. Mm-hmm. Probably even unbelievers would agree with the fact that that's a radical agenda, but certainly believers are going to say that's a very radical, and I have no qualm saying it, anti-biblical, anti-truth in a number of what they're fighting for. So under the guise of Black Lives Matter, which we agree with, you know, I've mentioned that, you know, on my website, I've written an article, Black Lives Matter, and here's why. They matter because they are made in the image of God, just as every other human being. They are precious to God. The suffering they're going through matters to God. Yeah. God cares for them. This is important. But under the guise of Black Lives Matter is suddenly this radical agenda that's pushing. We even read earlier together on the website that they are pushing against the nuclear family, trying to destroy really what God has created.
Yeah.
And so when my brothers and sisters in Christ go out there and protest with BLM, there is a part of me that, again, I will not condemn them. It's not my place. But man, there is a part of me that I go, wow, can they really endorse what's happening around them? And should they care?
Yeah, that's good. I think we can talk about that and dig even deeper into that
Yeah.
topic of the beliefs and think more about more of the theological implications. I think there's more to discuss on this topic.
Oh yeah,
and we can dig deeper just starting with the doctrine of sin, talking about how people change. There's more we haven't discussed that I think we should pick up again in another episode. But in a few moments, you know, as we come to the end of this episode, you know, as we're thinking about this issue, what's one thing you'll take away from our discussion today and want to think more about and even discuss on our next episode?
I think, and you always do a good job of this, Roger, you bring us back to the heart. And so when you brought us back to, okay, when we're thinking about even something like the protesters, we're thinking about the heart of the protesters, their own motivation, their own agenda, their own passion, et cetera. And if they're full of rage and anger, it's one thing. If there's a righteous indignation that is under the kind of, in submission to the ways of God, that's a totally different thing. And so kind of being able to separate the appearance from really what's going on in the heart is something I appreciate. And I want to dig even deeper in and see how does that play out in as a Christian leader, how should I direct people when thinking about this topic? So that's kind of one thing that stood out to me. How about for you? What stood out and what are you going to mull over more?
Yeah, that's good. And just thinking about how should we respond? Can't disconnect it because it's not just something we're thinking about on a high level. We're thinking and trying to connect it with scripture, but without how should we respond out of our heart and out of what it actually looks like in actions, I think it's an important thing to think through as we dig into these theological issues and try to discuss what does that look like, practically. How can we respond? So we'll pick up more of that and discuss more on this very big topic that's on many people's minds. But we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff Podcast and hope that you would subscribe and share with others. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff Podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodandstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff.org.